What's up, everybody? It's just me today, Kyle, with the Splitting Hairs podcast presented by Jackrabbit Illustrated. Thanks for joining me. If you're taking the time to catch the recap, hopefully you guys had an exciting Saturday night. I enjoyed thoroughly the beatdown we put on Lindenwood. You know, it was a great turnout. We had 15,000 plus fans. I thought that was an excellent showing, considering the opponent. But also considering the nature of everything that's going on in the world, seemed like a lot of people turned out. I saw some great stills of the Dana J fully loaded on the home side. Student section seemed to show out. So that was a really, really good good look for the program, especially one coming off a national title appearance. So it's always great to have that fan support, especially from the students. So they need to get ruckus and turn out every week we have a home game. So hopefully that trend will continue. Man, we have a new sponsor, so just want to highlight them. Cottonwood Coffee and Cottonwood Bistro were generous and wanted to join the movement here of Jackrabbit Illustrated and the Splitting Hairs podcast. So they're our newest sponsor, located in Brookings on downtown Maine. It's a great spot to go if you're a student, catch some quiet, be able to get some coffee as well, coursing through the veins so you can stay alert for all the studying you may or may not be doing, going into tests, midterms, finals, all that stuff. And then if you're just a local visitor or resident, you know, obviously they have great options as far as espresso, coffee. I just ordered a bunch for myself. I personally like something a little stronger, so I'm going with the Badlands blend. It's a darker roast, but they have options. The Bistro is great. I used to work there in college. Have a lot of healthy options for the athletes as well. So really excited that they jumped on all aboard as well for the sponsors. Kind of want to get into some rants and raves. It's always great to get a W, right? So that's the first rave. Played really well as a team. Usually when you play an opponent that you know you're supposed to beat, the mature teams rise up and get the job done. So that's always nice to see. Played a complete game, I thought. Got a lot of youngsters in. Were able to get some fresh bodies in there, get them reps, so that way they're able to build some experience, and then we can call on them whenever, you know, we need to get a little added boost for some depth later on in the season as we get into conference play, which, as we know, is a grinder. I thought the offense moved the ball really well. Chris did what he needed to do, right? Usually teams will use the run to set up the pass. And instead, first play of the game, we took the tops off, hit Jackson, I believe, for a really long bomb. And then we're able to establish a run. Pierre did an excellent job, you know, just getting what he could in a quarter and a half of play. Same thing for Chris, right? It was a tight end frenzy this past Saturday. Had two tight ends apiece for the big guys. You always like to see that. Zach did an excellent job in the pass game, adding another element. He's kind of come on over the latter half of last season in the spring season as a blocking feature, but kind of a check down go-to target that Mark really enjoyed finding later in big time games. You and I specifically, Heidi went to him in the national title game as well. So that's excellent to see. If you can have Zach become another added element in the passing game, it's going to free up guys like Tucker and Jaden backside of the backfield as well. So that was really encouraging to see. Offensive line did a really good job. When you play competition, that's you are overmatching them. It's really nice to see you take it seriously. After listening to the press conference post game, I thought Egan spoke really well to that. Thomas Stacker did as well, as far as the defensive line is concerned. You can only ever give 100%, so you're not going to give more than 100% regardless of the opponent. So it seems like this team is really taking it seriously and not leaving anything to chance as far as not being mentally prepared to play regardless of the opponent. So that was exciting to see. Chris Oladokun, what can you say about him? What more can you say about him? His accuracy is very, very good. I'm impressed when kind of the play may break down. He's dead on the money, throwing the ball to the eyes, if you listen to a lot of NFL quarterbacks and, you know, some of the elites, they always say throw to the eyes. Well, if you watch the replay of Tucker's second touchdown going into the south end zone over there against the visiting stands, he did a great job. Play broke down, putting it right on his eyes so Tucker could have just extended across the goal line. It was a beautiful ball. Heidi threw a beautiful ball as well to the south end zone in the corner, finding Mason Layton for that touchdown. So there's a few things that are that you can be sure of in life, death and taxes, and that someone from Madison is going to catch a TD for the Jacks. So that's exciting to see all those guys come on and get some play and capitalize in big moments. As far as defense is concerned, I love seeing the interior defensive line continue to eat. The chain gang is doing an excellent job as far as denting the pocket. Stacker got bull rush sacks where he disrupted the play several times. I like how he didn't really utilize the fact that his hand was in a cast as an excuse. A couple times he looked at it as if, how am I supposed to grab the guy? Resorted to a transition pass rush. You know, it's, if your first move isn't there for you, transition. He bull rushed the center right back into the quarterback a couple times. I thought that was an excellent use of the transition pass rush and playing to his strengths. So it's really good to see him come on. Tolu did an excellent job of you know, condensing the pocket, collapsing it as well. Just a lot of really solid plays made on both sides of the ball. Starting with the lines, the trenches. That's where you're going to win a championship. That's where you're going to take big strides moving forward as far as being a championship caliber team. Consistent play from the trenches and then beating teams that you're supposed to be handedly. 52-7 was the final score there. Just some housekeeping stuff I want to kind of go back to. As far as the turnout, man, it looked amazing. Did get a couple texts in the thread with that I have going with the guys where lines were extremely long. Just want to send a message out there for everyone who may have been frustrated coming from tailgating, trying to get into the stadium. If those lines are long, for the next game, just preemptively try to get into your seats a little bit early. Understand that these are unique times, and I'm not sure, but it sounds like staffing may be a difficult issue. So just do what you can as far as that's concerned and, you know, try to plan accordingly. I was a little frustrated at the national title game because we couldn't get back in to the game in time and the lines were ridiculous. It's like they funneled us into only a couple spots. So it just created a bottleneck there. But so preemptively take it upon yourself to be the solution, because we want everybody to pile in and feel good and get loud. So just take that into account. The other thing is, you know, the band sounded great. Want to rave about them. It's excellent to have the pride back. I could hear them getting super loud and into it still deep into the second half when the game was decided. And that makes a big difference, obviously, creating an atmosphere, right? Because we're at 50% a lot through the playoffs. And in the playoffs, obviously, that's when big-time players step up and make plays. But it's pivotal when you have that home field advantage effect because we played at home throughout the playoffs in the spring. But obviously, if we can earn that opportunity here coming up in the fall to have home field advantage or at least several home games, then that's going to be an unbelievable asset to use to our advantage to put the other team on their heels offensively or on their heels, you know, regardless of the situation, to just put that pressure on. So take that into account. You guys make a big difference. Coach Stig talks about it all the time. Do your 111th, show up, make a difference. Every voice matters. It really does. The other thing I want to talk about is looks like we didn't necessarily come out of the game completely injury free. We have what looks like either some type of a shoulder injury or collarbone injury to a big time back of ours, Isaiah Davis. Those things happen, right? Those things happen. ACLs happen. Shoulders happen. Injuries are just the great equalizer in the game of football. You can look to blame the surface, the situation, the opponent. But the reality is just sometimes things like that happen due to awkward falls. And it looked to be the case in that situation where all the guys' weight, all the defenders' weight came down on him awkwardly when the ball was tucked tight. over there on the home sideline. So I want to send out some well wishes to Isaiah. Just bounce back. Now your mindset is just going to have to shift to how you can dominate the day, how you can do what you can to take care of your body as you start to recover, because your team's going to need you mentally and physically, and you'll bounce back fine. I'm highly confident of that. But then the opportunity, glass half full, we had some younger guys step up. It was great to see Johnson get some action there as a freshman and really capitalize on that, use his ability, play within his ability to be himself, which is kind of the mantra that it seems like the guys are starting to really buy into and take ownership of. So, you know, he did an excellent job of, you know, finding the gap and using his quickness and his speed to hit the hole. And that's only going to alleviate, you know, pressure on Pierre, not having to tote the rock as much, because that can take an accrued effect over the course of the year. You know, obviously it's been well documented. I want to give him a shout out. He crossed the 3,000 yard threshold for the career. And for a guy who's been around a long time in the program, really, if you look at his yards per carry average, that's more remarkable, or as remarkable as passing that 3,000 yard threshold, because he's played a lot of games. But if you look at the amount of games he's played in total, it's not been that many with respect to looking at the carries versus the 3,000 yards he's been able to rack up. So it's been really cool to see him play, and it does seem like he's found another gear. That seems to be what everybody is talking about and discussing as far as his progression throughout his career here so far. Defensively, we've done great as well. You know, our defense continues to turn a corner, I think, overall, specifically starting with the chain gang. But then if you look at the second level guys, you know, you got Bach. He's playing at an All-American caliber level, I think, as a continuation from the spring, which is good. So he's got to continue to look to find his ceiling. We had some other guys step up, right? Some guys who've been in the program but continue to take steps as well. We've talked about him, you know, a lot over the course of the spring, and then early this year, Graham Spaulding made an excellent play, you know, yielded a turnover, dropped underneath the route on the sidelines over in the visitor sidelines. The wide angle was cool. The tight shot was even better as he got his head around, picked the pass off. So it's always nice to see. That's a Florida Jack getting a pick. Turnovers are the name of the game, right? Because when you have a team that is overmatched like Lindenwood, you can really kind of end it quickly. If you can turn the ball over, obviously they were rushing for, I think, at half, they only had like 2 yards of carry, 2 yards per carry or something, or maybe 2 yards per play. It was something astronomical in terms of being a low number there. But yeah, Graham making an excellent play on that ball. Peyton Schaefer stepping up, getting a pivotal sack. You know, Tyler Feldkamp stepping up as far as being an extension of the defense and extension of the offense with punt return. Getting his first action as a punt returner. Someone needed to step up, obviously, since we had, you know, some guys drop out as far as Landon. Obviously, losing him for the year is tough. He seemed to be a fan favorite, team favorite, as far as a morale booster for the guys. But I know they're going to lean in and just continue to do what they can to find the right guys to put in place in the return game. I know Isaiah Davis was one of the others who return kicks on kickoff returns. So it'll be interesting to see how things shape up here. Fortunately, we have bye week, or an improvement week, which is what Coach Stig calls it, to kind of dial in that mindset. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as far as some of the guys emerging to step up and continue to contribute in some of these key roles. Do want to give a shout out to Drake's Place as well, our other sponsor. Drake's Place is excellent as far as honoring the Jacks through some of their menu options. They've got a really cool thing going and some things in place here coming up for the fall. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to share some of that or not, but just keep an eye out at Drake's Place in Bodle. I know the guys got to meet Robert Drake, Mr. Drake, at the game. And so that's really cool. We always love connecting with our folks who are big supporters of the Jacks, and also us. So that's awesome. So support Drake's Place whenever you can. Jackrabbit Central, right? I was on there the other day, ordered some stuff for the missus and myself. And, you know, I'm always checking it. They got some new styles, some fresh new styles for the ladies. And then there's always stuff to get, accessories for family members coming up here. whether it's birthdays, whether it's just game day, you can always find good stuff at Jackrabbit Central. And then, of course, shenanigans down in Sioux Falls. Grab a drink, watch all Jack's sporting events in the fall. Soccer is off to a hot start. And then one of the last housekeeping things I want to talk about here is there was a big announcement today. I'm not sure if you caught it. If you didn't, it has to do with a big facilities announcement for athletics that you're going to be able to actually catch online, I think, live. I'll have to check some more information out about that, but I do believe it is going to be streamed live. And I think it has to do with, I'm speculating, it's kind of obvious at this point, I think, but I think it has to do with renovations to Frost, which is going to be pretty exciting. Frost Arena is long overdue, I think, for some upgrades, especially given you know, the success that both men and women's basketball have had over the course of the year. So that's going to be exciting. I know we primarily cover football here, but just want to highlight them because it's all one family, one team, one dream. And I know they're excited to have new digs there. And I know you fans should be too, right? Because if you support the blue and yellow, man, the atmosphere for sporting events has really skyrocketed over the course of 10, 15 years. And it's going to be excellent to maybe have some suites in there to be able to catch the games, a little more intimate environment if you're going to maybe host some corporate events for local businesses there, or, you know, throw a party for some alumni, whatever the case may be. I think that's going to create a big value add for the programs there. And then wrestling, that's the home for wrestling too, I do believe. And speaking of wrestling, I know Chad will cover it in the takedown segment later when wrestling takes off, but I do want to talk about that amazing accomplishment that's going to be right there adjacent to Coach Stig's office at the Dana J. Dykehouse Student Athlete Center. The locker room, the football locker room right there. So that's huge. That's revolutionary for a wrestling program that's had amazing success, has the most recent national title of any athletics program at South Dakota State with an individual national title. So that's exciting. You know, Coach Damian Han has to be excited about that. Han, I apologize if I'm not pronouncing it right. But yes, that's really exciting stuff as far as athletics are concerned overall. So just want to get into players of the game. I'm going to take a breath here. It's tough running the show solo. You know, I'm sorry for you guys who were expecting Matt. You get my ugly mug. Hopefully he'll – Matt was tied up with some previous obligations, taking care of the kiddos, so you're stuck with me. But I'll do my best. And then Dallas may or may not make an appearance as well. So want to talk about who my player of the game is on offense. I'm going to go with Chris Oladokun again. I think that, you know, four touchdown passes in a quarter and a half is pretty remarkable. And I think he only had like one or two, it might've been 12 of 17 or so, if I remember correctly, with four touchdowns. So it was really impressive. I think that, you know, he can continue to take another step. Obviously the Colorado State win was huge, just to kind of wet his whistle again and play some real live action ball. And then this was a great opportunity to kind of let her rip, really, really show and assert your dominance, both from a talent perspective, from an experiential perspective, and then, you know, saving the body, right? Getting in, getting out, getting the W, going 1-0. Because it's only going to get more difficult from here, I would imagine, going into improvement week. I'm sure the coaches will deep dive into the film, and he'll continue to take another step. But Chris Oladokun is my personal player of the game. Want to give a shout out again to the tight ends in the 605 Hogs, because it all starts there. Really big fan too, just a little highlight of what Tucker Kraft has done, being able to really take another big step in the receiving game as a Jackrabbit so far in his young career. And then again, we talked about Zach Hines doing what he does. As far as the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go with Thomas Stacker. I thought he dented the interior of the defense or the offensive line quite a few times. And when you do that, there's just you're really just putting the offensive lineman directly in the face, in the lap of the quarterback. And that's brutal to overcome. And Thomas has been doing it consistently for a long time here. So want to give him some love. could have gone to a lot of guys in this game, and that's good, right? Like having too many to choose from as opposed to not having enough, that's going to be the bane of your existence if you're in that situation. And again, just really proud of the way the guys handled competition that isn't of the caliber of the Jacks, because that can be tough. In 06, when I was first with the Jacks, dropped a tough one to Wisconsin lacrosse in terrible conditions, but again, really mature teams, don't let that happen. So it's good to see the progression continue to go in the right direction for the Jacks. From a special teams perspective, it could have been a lot of guys. I do want to go with Feldkamp, because just securing a punt seems like it's been tough, and it's one of the tougher things to do, I think, in sports, because it occurs at all levels. You look at the NFL, guys are constantly not catching it when they should, you know, not fair catching it when they should and taking shots, or catching it too deep. So I think he did a really good job securing the ball and not having that aspect of the game, the punt return game, be a liability for the Jacks, and not allowing a team with inferior talent, again, nothing against Lindenwood, but just calling a spade, not letting them back into the game in any way, shape, or form. So want to give him kudos there as well. So we got offense, defense, special teams. Want to highlight again some guys. Peyton Schaefer did an excellent job. I think our secondary did a really good job too. Corners played well. I consistently like the play of Michael Griffin. Watching some NFL ball today, I think that it's a lofty comparison, and I don't want anyone to think that I'm equating him one-to-one with this gentleman, but Jamal Adams, the safety, the strong box safety for the Seattle Seahawks. I think Griffin shows some signs of similar stylistically type of play, and I think that, you know, the sky's the limit for him. He continues to raise his floor and his ceiling by just going to work, and he seems like he's got a good perspective and level head on him. So I think that's going to be exciting to watch him continue to progress as far as that goes. Maybe take a shot. A lot of football left in his senior year, so super senior year. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens there. See who else. Cale Reeder did a good job. I think you know, all the safeties did a really good job of not letting anybody get beat deep. One of the things that I do want to discuss as far as things that we can get better on as we ramp up here, I think tackling could have been a bit better. There's a couple times guys were running down with great speed and tenacity on kickoff and were laying the wood to the returner, but he was continuing to kind of slip out and get some extra yak in that, or extra yardage. And that's not going to work against teams who have a better setup and kind of a better scheme. That returner, you got to give him some credit too. He was great. Number 18, did an excellent job for Lindenwood as far as trying to extend and get what he could out of a less than desirable situation, because we were getting to the returner pretty quickly, right? So I think one of the plays that I remember was Stallbird. Stallbird laid the wood to them deep in their own zone. One thing I've noticed from them, if they're rolling and trying to turn and kind of take a guy to the ground, they let go as opposed to bringing them down on top of them and just securing the tackle, kind of like a rugby tackle where they literally teach us this in tackle circuit at State, where you secure the tackle, you tuck and roll. So I don't know, maybe that's some technical stuff that we can continue to work on as a unit. I'm sure they're going to harp on that, because I know they didn't enjoy the tackling performance on Saturday. But and you always got to kind of comb through your performance with a fine tooth comb to see how you can incrementally improve week in and week out, even with a dominant performance like that. So tackling needs to improve, especially as we get into better competition here. I think rallying to the ball was pretty good. I think that can also improve from a defensive perspective. And then I would like to see a shutout. I don't care who's in the game. Maybe it's a little bit of a strong opinion, but I don't care who's in the game. You don't let the other team in your end zone. And I think we were fully capable of maintaining a shutout. So I hope the guys take that seriously and put that chip on their shoulder, because it would have been nice just to see a goose egg. I know the younger guys are probably more disappointed in that than anybody. So That'd be nice to see moving forward, get a goose egg and honor this defense that we've got and a lot of the defensive stalwarts we've had for a long time now with these conditions of getting that added year. So that would be really nice to see. Backus always seems like he's around the ball. Could always constantly talk about him in a positive light. Seems like I was talking to Coach Stig about it. I always love his mentality and just kind of the grit that he plays with, and he'll let you know it if he got the best of you. He chirps a little bit. I'm always kind of a fan of that, as long as you're backing it up with your play. So that's cool. Other thoughts. Special teams. Jake Fromm doing it for the brand. Pat McAfee, he was with you in spirit, son, and so was Adam Vinatieri and Chase as well, and all the kickers and specialists who've been with the program. 54 yards is nothing to shake your head about. That's it's pretty impressive. Put it right through the middle of the uprights too. So that's going to be good for his confidence, because I think the whole operation is you're starting to get live action reps. Colorado State was an example where it could just be cleaner, and it looked pretty clean on Saturday. So he made all his PATs and crushed that field goal. So really, really encouraging to see. As you know, for those of you who watch the spring season, that's been a huge step in the right direction, I think, so far this year, even despite the one miss in Colorado. This was a remarkable kick, and that's a career long for him. So just take your hat off to him. Big time player, special teams player of the week, also along with Tyler Feldkamp for me. So let me take a quick breath, since I'm carrying all this on my own here. Improvement week is going to be pretty exciting. We're dabbling on doing some things as far as potentially debating getting all the guys together from A and B team. We'd love to know your thoughts on this. Potentially doing a discussion about FBS versus FCS. What's going to happen if Division One splits again for a third time? Does the upper echelon of the FCS make the jump into the group of five if we can get fully funded? Teams like Montana, Montana State, North Dakota State, JMU, do we go group of five? It's very unlikely that they give just a football-only invite to some of these dominant schools like in North Dakota State. They're going to look at markets, right? What revenue can you bring in to the conference? What's your value add? What's your TV viewership look like? So some of those things are pretty exciting to kind of just talk about and just shoot the breeze about. So we might put our heads together and do that, but we'd love to get your input. So I'm sure we'll engage you on Twitter and all our social media to try to see what you guys would like to hear us talk about. But we got something brewing in the works, so we'll keep you informed for that. Get to the comments here and questions. I like what you're saying, Chad. Yeah, I think we need to keep Feldkamp in there. As far as punt return, man, he looked sharp. Looked like he'd been doing it his whole life, because it seems like he has. It's an excellent point. Terry, Fromm was impressive. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. The whole operation, snap, hold, everything looked really, really good. And then, yeah, I got to say this, Perry, this has been frustrating. Directional kicks, I understand that they watch a lot more film than we do here at Jackrabbit Illustrated. But so when they're doing directional kicks, I'm not sure why. They might see something that they want to exploit. Kick it out of the back of the end zone. Trust your defense. Our defense is so stout. Not sure if they were trying to do a directional kick. Maybe just came off his foot weird. The wind can kind of swirl down there. I don't know. Maybe that's just an excuse, right? But, yeah, I think we'll clean all that stuff up here coming in improvement week, because all you got to do is simply practice. And that's it's not always the most fun, but the grueling, mundane work is where you get the wins, really. What else we got? So I think I want to check this out really quick. Coming up after improvement week, to just kind of glance ahead, we've got Dixie State on the horizon, I think, to close out our non-conference schedule, which is another team that's coming up from the D2 ranks. They're in a transitional period. They are based out of the South. They're one of the teams that's in the – check that. Got Indiana State at Terre Haute. That's going to be a good one, right? That's it's going to be a good one because we haven't played them in a while. They were one of the teams to opt out during the spring season. They just wanted to play it safe. They didn't see a huge value add in playing. So their guys are rested up. I believe they dropped a game this past weekend, if I'm not mistaken. But I know that they got their first game of the year. They got a W, albeit in a kind of a close game late. But they're going to be a well-coached team. They're going to have a chip on their shoulder from not having had a taste at a spring season. And then, you know, we've given up some rush yards to them over the in the past and then just outscored them late. So hopefully we can kind of do what we can to put the clamps on them, get out of the game unscathed, and just do what we got to do. So that's Indiana State. And then, again, just to close out the non-conference regular season, we're going to have that Dixie State team. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to cover as far as those squads are concerned. I'm excited. I'm excited based on what we've been able to do so far to start the season. But like everybody knows who's ever played sports or whoever worked in a competitive environment, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. I'd like to start strong and finish strong, but that's a little bit of idealistic thinking. If we look ahead, I think that, you know, we got a kind of a gauntlet in our schedule coming up here. So we'll be at Terre Haute for Indiana State. And we got the Beef Bowl against Dixie State. Southern Illinois looked incredible. If we just kind of glance at the complexion of the Missouri Valley, they almost pulled one out against Kansas State. And Kansas State absolutely annihilated Stanford to open the season. So, you know, it's kind of hard to tell fully until about week three, week four, the true mettle of a team. You know, how good are they really after one blowout win, after a blowout win and an average performance? It's kind of tough to tell, right? Because Jacksonville State, if anybody saw that out of the OVC, the Ohio Valley Conference, laid an absolute egg on national television against UAB. But then comes back and gets another FCS over FBS upset against Florida State in Tallahassee on a wild game-ending last play. So I think they're somewhere in between the two performances. They're an average, and I think the Jacks are potentially not. I think that we are as good as advertised. Coach Stugart said the same thing. Head coach of Lindenwood, he believes that we are the best team in the FCS. I do as well, but, you know, that's just a belief, and it doesn't mean anything until the guys prove it throughout the rest of the year, which I know they're capable of doing, certainly. So I'll take any more questions you guys got. I appreciate the turnout here for this little solo adventure. Hopefully I'm doing a good job for you guys providing no dead. I'm trying not to provide any dead airspace and really cover what we can. Want to go over some stats real quick. In the opening couple games, obviously we're outscoring our opponents. We're scoring 94 points on the year so far in two games, which is pretty incredible. Our defense is only averaging giving up 15 points a game, which is good. You know, we'd like to see that number around 10 as we get into Valley play. Got some scrap points there late in cleanup duty. So there's 14 points off the board out of that 30. So, you know, that we've given up on the year. So I think that's really good and bodes well. Moving forward, Tucker Kraft has 9 catches on the year. He's averaging close to 5 a game, which I think is good in terms of getting the tight ends involved. We spread the ball around big time on Saturday, and we did the same opening game of the season as well. We got Hines had multiple catches as well, multiple touchdowns. We had obviously Jackson with the big opening play of the game. I believe he had, let's see, I think he had 6 for, if I can find it here. Yeah, so Jaden had 3 for 41. Jackson had 2 for 64. Obviously, the big opening play was huge. You know, they didn't get a ton of action because the game was pretty decided early. Like seeing Caleb Schaaf catch a pass. You know, it was great seeing Keaton get some good real-time action under his belt. The circumstances notwithstanding of the national championship where it was pouring. He had a beautiful night to kind of let her rip and try to rebuild some of that consistency, some of that confidence. So, again, beautiful touchdown pass to Mason Layton. And then Rudy, his first collegiate pass. Rudy Voss, the South Central Minnesota kid out of Jackson County Central, 1-1. So 100% completion percentage. We like that number for 5 yards. And then I think, you know, if you look at the totals on the night, we were 16 and 19 for 230 yards, 5 touchdowns with 55 long. So we did what we were supposed to do. And the opponent, they were who we thought they were. So they are who we thought they were. A little homage to Denny Green there. Angel Johnson got in the game too. Got some good collegiate action. Yeah, it was just a really solid performance top to bottom the whole night. Yeah, so those are some of the statistics. Try to get to some of the defense here. Time of possession is a bit irrelevant in a game like that where we had a bunch of big plays. Had Kinzer Madison getting a tackle for loss here statistically, which is great. Caleb Sanders, the Colonel, obviously showing up week in and week out with 4 total tackles, 1.5 for loss. And then Peyton Schaefer, 2 tackles for loss, like we talked about earlier with that key sack too. That was excellent. Saw the Kusler twins get some play. That's excellent too. Reese also, Winkleman, that name showing up again. 2 total tackles, had, I believe he had a sack. Yeah, he had a sack. 1.5 tackles for loss as well. So then Stacker, 1.5. I believe his was a sack too. And he may have been credited with a half sack. Yeah, he got a half sack. So good stuff all around in terms of the performance. Just excellent to see. Hopefully we can carry that in, obviously, to the Indiana State game. I think the guys will be ready to go. And really excited to see another Valley team here coming up so we can actually kind of more so measure ourselves. Let's see, get to some questions here. Yeah, touched on it early, Darren. The big question is, how long is Isaiah going to be out? Because the style of backs that we have in terms of our roster don't seem to be a big bruiser. Who's going to be the big bruiser? The Brookings kid got some play, or the kid who transferred into Brookings from Minnesota. He looked good, but I don't think that, you know, nobody's expecting someone to step in and be Isaiah, but we do need stylistically that Mikey Daniel type running back that can come in, or Kyle Paris type running back for a few years back. If you guys remember, he would come in and kind of get some short yardage play as well. We need someone like that to kind of step in and fill those shoes. But if we don't have someone to do that, Perry hit on the 605 Hogs. They did an excellent job, and they'll have to continue to do an excellent job keeping Chris clean in the pocket and then obviously creating running lanes for whoever's back there. Because it really doesn't matter who you have stylistically as long as you got lanes that are being opened up. And so far they've proven that they can do that. Cedric, if you're right here, 8+ weeks, I hope not. I hope it turns out. I haven't seen the official stuff. You know, South Dakota State keeps it close to the vest. I'm not sure that they disclose athlete injuries. And it's probably a good thing, but that leaves us waiting on pins and needles, right? Not knowing. I personally thought it, just calling it like it is, I thought it was a broken collarbone right off the rip. Cause it just seemed like what I've seen historically from broken collarbones where they land awkwardly like that and it's a pop, could have been a dislocated shoulder. I've heard that too. I'm hoping it's just like an AC joint sprain that keeps him out, you know, conservatively 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know. But I did see Zimmer tweet out that the Bison game is 8 weeks out. Hopefully we don't lose him for any more time than we would need to, but definitely not for that game. Don't want to look too far down the road, but just have to look at things kind of practically. That would be a tough one to only have, you know, a limited running back room for that game. But the good news is I think the guys will rally around it. I think I don't think it'll change the entire complexion of the offense, which is great. You know, Coach Eck has really done a great job so far this season of utilizing the talent that we've got. You know, I think we harped on it in the previous week, talking about what he was able to do against Colorado State, just very fluid in rhythm. It wasn't on Coach Eck for some of the stalled drives. It was mainly drops and certain things like that that kind of hindered us. So that's good to know, right? I mean, we've cleaned up some of that. I think moving forward, next man up mentality, that's kind of how it's always been. Those guys will rally around him, and then he's going to have to shift his mindset, Isaiah will, to how can I dominate the day, given the situation is what it is. Let's see, what else? Try to get some more questions here. I appreciate you guys weighing in and showing up. Look at Indiana State real quick. If you guys got any suggestions for upcoming episodes too here in Improvement Week, we'd love to hear them. I think I was able to do a great interview with Coach Stig. And when I say great interview, he just gave me some great content. So that was nice. You know, I tried to do it different. If you guys haven't heard that, go to our the Splitting Hairs Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you guys listen. You can find that if you're getting a workout in. Mark is a listener of the show. He got it in on a run. It's a good opportunity to listen and get some of his wisdom. He's a great guy to obviously hear, share insight about his whole journey with South Dakota State and just kind of get some wisdom out of him. He's an interesting guy, and he gave me a good pod. Let's see. So Indiana State, the Sycamores, they've been on the come up. They've made the playoffs, I think, here and there, and kind of have been on the cusp of doing some nice things. They were able to be one of the teams that beat North Dakota State, which they hadn't dropped a whole lot of games. You know, obviously that's been well documented, but they did beat them. I want to say in 11 and maybe 12 or 13, but they were able to beat them. That's a long time ago now, I suppose about 8 years, but it's not a team to take lightly. You know, they did lose to Northwestern this past weekend, 24-6. Doesn't seem like the game was really ever in question, as they only scored 6 points late in the game. But you never know, especially playing at their home. They don't have a ton of home field advantage. I think overall, pretty much only have a home side, not much of an away side to speak of as far as stands. But, you know, they will be ready to rock. They did beat Eastern Illinois 26-21 to open the season. They're at Eastern Kentucky, so they will not have a bye week before seeing us. That may or may not favor them because they're going to be in rhythm as they go forward. Hopefully, maybe it'll tax them a little bit more. I don't know, but they have Peterson Carroll Grand, if I'm pronouncing that right. He seems to be a top performer, along with Anthony Thompson in terms of pass yards. Peterson is seems like a backup here. Thompson, number five, he's been a top performer for them so far, with Curtis Wilderman getting some action as well. So got guys seeing a lot of time for them. That could be a function of the fact that they just played, you know, a Big Ten school. who had an excellent season last year and is returning a lot of guys. So it's going to be kind of tough to gauge until you get a little bit more football played this season. They do historically give up a lot of rushing yards. They give up a lot of rushing yards to us when we had Zenner. They've given up a lot of rushing yards to Pierre when we have played them. And I do know that Jabori Gibbs, a couple years ago in 2019, we played down there, was able to have a day. So hopefully it's more of the same. I have no reason to think it won't be. But, you know, they're coached by Kurt Mallory, who is a good coach. He's done a lot for that program, I think, in trying to right the ship. It'll be a battle. It's a Valley game, so it's a grinder. Hopefully, guys, I'm sure they're going to be installing a lot of that stuff this week. This may be just an extended week to deal with them. So that's always good and reassuring. So that's pretty much that on improvement week. Hopefully we can get guys healthy. Anybody that's banged up that's not out for an extended period of time. And then really appreciate you guys listening. We'll try to, Aaron, love that. Appreciate you listening. We'll try to get some more former player features in here. You guys weigh in for anybody you'd like me to talk to. I'll reach out to them. Still in contact with a lot of them. That's how I line them up. Whether they're former players that I played with or before or after, we can always make it happen. We've heard some about getting Josh Ronick on, possibly Steve Heiden, who had a long career in the NFL as a tight end for the Browns and the Chargers and some of those squads. We're doing our best to try to turn out some good content. I believe the B team, Ben and Brendan, I believe they're going to be doing their same typical scheduled pod here this week on Tuesday, I believe, and I think it will come out Wednesday. But check back on social media. We'll clarify that. And then Dion here. Do we feel the stadium did an adequate job of harnessing the energy from the crowd? I feel like they could do more to get fans involved, especially students. Yeah, man, that's something that I've kind of felt a little bit here. We've had threads go on social media where we kind of talk about things that could be tweaked or modified or maybe newly implemented as far as changing the atmosphere of game day, as far as entrance or setting the mood, as far as, you know, tinkering with the lights. Colorado State did it. A lot of programs do it where they kill the lights and then they turn them back on to kind of set the mood and kind of integrate the energy of the stadium as a structure with the crowd that attends. I think they've done better, ironically, throughout the course of the year. This is just going to need to come from feedback from the fans, because if you're paying, then that kind of puts the onus on them to adapt and listen to the fan base, which I think they're really open to doing. I just think that change happens really slowly. So hopefully, you know, we're trying to boost the signal of the program. But with the support of you guys, I think people are hearing, they're at least hearing it, and they're able to filter the noise a little bit more and taking us, I guess, seriously. Not sure if that's a good or a bad thing, but I'll definitely have some conversations, hopefully with some decision makers, to see, you know, what they're doing, maybe what can be done moving forward, because it may need an update in terms of like contemporary feel. But again, a lot of people that are coming, you know, they're local to the area, they're older, they paid their dues, and for them, it's just a great time to bring the family. So there's that finding that striking that balance with the younger crowd versus some of the older guard that definitely earn a nice game day experience as well. So it's, I'm sure, walking that balance. Great question, though. Really appreciate that one. So with all that being said, guys, just tune in this week. We'll have some content. Like I said, B team, they'll get their pod out. Really appreciate the support. Want to plug the sponsors, Drake's Place, Shenanigans, and Jackrabbit Central again. You guys show them some love and support. Great place to watch some NFL games down there in Sioux Falls at Shenanigans. Jackrabbit Central's got all your merch. And of course, Robert at Drake's Place is holding it down, providing you all the good Jackrabbit themed goodies there as well. So, with that being said, got one more question here. Darren says the Dana operation people were not ready for the crowd that took 45 to get in the stadium. Yeah, it's tough, man. That would be frustrating to me as well. I would just plan accordingly for future games. We kind of touched on that. So that way you can kind of navigate that whole process a little bit more smoothly, or not leave it in their hands as far as maybe dropping the ball. But again, it's a part of it. It's kind of the times that we're in right now. But to go along and kind of piggyback off of the question Dion had, I think that if we kind of put the onus on the administration or discuss these things with the decision makers, maybe we can get some changes. So we'll do our best. But with that, thank you guys for tuning in to just me bumping my gums on the solo pod. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I think we covered some good stuff, highlighted the typical things, hopefully gave you a little taste of what you can expect to come here as far as conference and non-conference play. But with that, we're 1-0. You guys made a difference. Who showed out? And with that, go big, go blue, go Jacks. I'll tell you no matter.